I'll tell you, I'm an Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Nishpach Adam al Aritz, right? The blood of the korban spilled on the floor, meaning he didn't catch it in a Mizrach. It spilled directly from the neck onto the floor for Osfay, and then he collected it posel. Then it's posel. Now, we are going to learn later in the Masechta, if it spilled from the Mizrach onto the floor, then he can collect it from the floor, and then he can sprinkle it. But here we're talking about where it never landed in the Mizrach in the first place. Okay. So the Gemara starts off, Tana Rabbanan. The pasuk says, V'loka ha-koyin ha-mashiach mi-dam ha-par. The koyin ha-mashiach, this is talking about the par, koyin ha-mashiach, but we apply it to other korbanos as well. So you should take from the blood of the par. That means, first of all, mi-dam ha-par means a specific type of blood. Now, when you shech an animal, there's a few different, that's blood is blood, but there's a few different ways in which it comes out, and actually a few different, slightly different shades of color. First, you have a little bit of blood comes out from the fact you're cutting through the skin, you're cutting through the muscles, so a little blood starts coming out from that. Then you hit the windpipe and the esophagus, and you also, so as you're cutting them, you're also cutting the viridian, the major blood vessels in the neck, and then the blood starts gushing out. That's called dam ha-nefesh. Then you have, after that, you have dam ha-tamsis. Then you have like the blood that sort of oozes out afterwards. So the blood that you're supposed to sprinkle on the veach is after the dam ha-nefesh. There's really actually four kinds. Like Mara explains in Christmas. You have first there's a darker colored blood where it just dribbles out a little bit. That's like vein. That's venous blood. And that's blood that comes from the veins, which is lacking in oxygen. Then you have, it turns red and it starts dribbling more. So the first, it's like you're just dripping a little bit. Then you have it's dribbling more that you've hit an artery. So, you've hit smaller blood vessels. So therefore it starts coming out red and oxygenated, but still not gushing out. Then you have a huge gush. And then after that, you have eventually it stops gushing and starts dribbling again. So which one is considered? Dam ha-nefesh, actually the Gemara discusses in Chrysis over there, definitely the third one is dam ha-nefesh, which Lachish holds that also the second one is. In any case, you have to collect the dam ha-nefesh. The point is, either because we learn that either from the fact that it says ha-par, which means life, so in the, what's really the life force of the par, or just because that's how the Ravid learns, or because the whole word ha-par is extra, and therefore we can use it for this drasha.
When you collect, like in the cup, you want to hold the cup away for the.
So you want to hold it for the, until it starts, until, right. You have to time it, so you put it there exactly when it starts gushing, yeah.
Right.
We're going to talk about suit. Gemara is going to talk about you have to place the neck in such a way that as much as possible the dam ha-nefesh will get into the bowl. Yeah. Okay. So that's first of all. Second of all, midam ha-par, the words midam ha-par teaches us dam ha-par yekablanu, that he has to receive the blood from the par and not as so there. That leads us to the din of our Mishnah that if it fell or that if it landed on the floor, then it's no good. Okay. And now how do we know that? Now a lot of times a mem is a mute, so maybe midam ha-par means only some of the blood. So no. The safadaitah mi dama per kedichtiv. If you're going to say that mi dama per means what a mem would usually mean, mi dam va'afilu miktas dam, that would mean you don't have to collect all the blood. It's enough if you collect some of it. Now it's true. Now that is true b'diyeved. However, like tchila, you are supposed to collect all of it. So why don't we douse in that way? The problem with that is Amar Rav Ashoichet Tzarech Sheikabel is called Domei Shapar. Rav says that the Shoichet has to try to receive all the blood of the par. Now the Shoichet is not necessarily the Makabel. So what we mean is more that the Shoichet has to place the neck and in such a way that it will go directly into the Mizrach. And that as much as possible, all the blood, or at least all the Dama Nefesh, will go in. Shenema, the Eskol Dama Yishpach, Eskol Dama Yishpach, as the Pasuk says, all its blood he should spill. Dama Par, it says on the side, or the blood of the Par. Whatever. The point is that the Pasuk is saying all of it. So you have to collect all of it. Ella, therefore, the Mem has to be Darshan, not Mem, some of the blood, but rather Mem from. Keep in mind, in Lashon Kodesh, a mem can have a few different meanings. It can mean from, it can mean part of, it can mean because of, etc. So here it means from. So dam me ha-par yekablanu. Now, how do we get that if it says mi dam ha-par? Because Sava, the Tana of our Braisa holds, gurin umesifin v'doshin. It's a valid way of darshaning to take off one letter from a word, attach it to a different word, and darshan the result. So here we're taking the mem from mi dam. We're cutting it off over there. We're attaching it to the word ha-par. And then we douse in the result. Instead of mi dam ha-par, we have dam me ha-par. And that leads us to this din that the blood has to be collected directly from the par. Tosfos discusses in some places, here Tosfos just mentions the point that if you were to take out a word from a pasuk, then douching it differently than then place it someplace else, then the Gemara would object. But this way of gurning with Mishnah letters is a valid method of Durasha. In other places, Tosfos discusses, can you use any letter from the word for it? Can you use maybe only the first or last letter of a word?
Making me think of the Baal Shem Tov. Look, you go up on a Torah, he could show you, he would do this.
So there is, by the way, in Chassidus, there's a number of places in Maimonides where it talks about that this Gurion and Sifrim Vedoshin also reflects the concept of Nisira. You have the whole concept where the Eved should cut apart, cut a piece off Adam to create Chava, and in Tisvei Arizal, it talks about the Nisira, you have every year before Rosh Hashanah, the Malchus is cut away and reassembled, so to speak, to Binyan HaMalchus. We talk about it a lot in Maimonides of Rosh Hashanah, so that's this Gurion and Sifrim Vedoshin. You're cutting off a piece off of one word and attaching it to another word and darshaning the result. The Rebbe also talks about in at least one maimer that we also it's also meant for us as a lesson in avoda. It's not stand something going on in Olam HaSalyonim. This means in practical avoda, we have to be goreya to the nefesh of Bahamas and add it and be moistif to the nefesh of Elikis from Goshen and Darshan and be dirtish. And after all, the point of to be dirtish, to be seeking out all the course in our world. Let's have our Kodesh Baruch Hu. This like Judah B'tachtonim, and we have to be seeking to do that.
It's also Midala part because you're skipping from Valbat Shepherd, not from real learning. Because you're skipping the first dribble of blood and you're skipping the last dribble of blood. So it's also Midala HaPar Midala Yodama Nemes. It doesn't work. But.
Cool. So now getting back to what we just said. He said, Omer Yehuda Amar Rav, HaShoychet Tzorech Sheikabla Eskol Dama Shalpar. The Shoychet has to try to receive all the blood of the par, all the Dama Nefesh, that is, Shenem Eskol Dama Po Yishvach, as it says, he should spill all the blood of the par. So the question is, context to that post. But what the Shirayim we've seen? That post is talking about spilling the Shirayim on the Mizbeach. So where are you getting from it anything about Kabbalah? And the answer is in any in the Shirayim, because you can't apply it to the Shirayim. By the time you get to the Shirayim, you don't have all the blood anymore. Some of it has already been applied to the Mizbeach. Now fine, Balabaptish, you would say, means Kol Adam, means whatever blood, all the blood that you have left. But the Gemara doesn't want to assume it that way. The Gemara otherwise could have said Adam Anisha, it could have said Adam Anoiser. There's actually, you have at least two words in Lashon Kodesh for leftover, Nisha and Noiser. There's some place where the Malbim explains, there's a few places where the Malbim explains, I don't remember which is which, but he says one of them means to leave something over deliberately, and the other means to leave something over accidentally. So here it could have said something like that, but it doesn't. It says kol adam. So in any in the shirayim, less than the kol adam. At that point, you don't have all the blood anymore. Tanehu in the kabbalah. Then therefore, apply it instead to the kabbalah and say that it means by the kabbalah you receive all the blood.
So we're doing much more than good in my speaking with them. We are taking a whole word out of it. No,
we're not taking any words out. We're just saying we're taking the pasuk and applying it to a different context. That's a valid thing. In lazet. This is a valid method of davening Torah. We've had it several times in this Masechta already. In fact, but you know, in morning davening, we say the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel. We only have 13 Yidus. But if you look in the back of a Gemara Brachas, you'll find there's the Shloshim Ushayim Midus of Rabbi Eliezer, but also Rabbi Yosef Lili, and one of those Shloshim Ushayim Midus is Gurion and Sifrim Vedoshin.
So the pasuk that's in the parsha about
Shirayim, but we're sorry, not Gurion and Sifrim Vedoshin. That's also there, but also the same in Lozet. Same in Lozet is also there.
Beautiful.
Another din in this connection, Omer of Yehuda Amashmol, HaShoychet Tzorech Sheyagbiya Sakin L'mayla. After he shechts, he has to lift up the knife to keep it away from the Mizrach. Because you don't want the blood from the knife to go into the Mizrach. Because Shenema, as the pasuk says, V'lokach midama per, he should be taking from the blood of the par. And doing Kabbalah, you shouldn't be taking the blood of the par as well as something else. And the blood from the knife, it of course came from the par originally, but nevertheless, it's considered something else. It's not considered that same blood anymore. It's not considered direct, right, because it was on the knife. So Tosfos actually points out in connection with Gurion and with Sifrim Vedoshin, wait a minute, if we're saying you can't even have the blood of a knife in the Mizrach, how much more so the blood on the floor, so why do we even need the Gurion and with Sifrim Vedoshin to tell us about that? And Tosfos says, because you could argue the blood of the knife is worse because in effect it was received in a way that was possible, namely it was received in something that doesn't have a receptacle. Now, of course, necessarily you have no choice, you have to shech with a knife, but the fact is it can't contain the blood within it. As opposed to the floor, it was never received yet. You could argue now you should be able to put it in the Mizrach. And therefore we're saying that no. So So therefore, we need the Guru Namah system of Doshan for that. Also, Tosca says, you know, another way of looking at it is, you could have otherwise, if you didn't have the Guru Namah system of Doshan, it's like, okay, maybe it means that when we say, V'loy midava parva dava acher, means you can't use blood from the floor. Maybe it would mean the blood from the knife would be good. The fact is, we need to unite both of them, from the floor and from the knife, therefore we need two different drushes.
And beginning of today's share, where we took away the Kalim, Behema,
yep.
And the feet, yeah.
That was yesterday, but yeah. So the Gemara says the dam sack in the mind mechanech, right? Fine. What does he wipe the blood from the knife on? We're not going to assume that he just goes and wipes it on a shmata. That would be respectful to the korban. But the fact is, you don't want to put it in a mizra. Rabbi, the sfas mizra. What he does is he wipes it on the outside of the mizra. So this way, it doesn't dribble into the mizra. It goes on the outside of it. The sfas mizra, and kidichtiv, as we actually find that the mizrakim in the pasuk are called, you know, in some places in Sefer Ezra, they're called kforei zahav. So why kforei? Because the word, the shodesh kaper, means to wipe away. When we talk about kapara of averas, literally means to wipe the avera away. So the same way, the mizrakim are called kforei zahav, because they would wipe the knife on the outside of the mizra.
What the most sure way to make sure the blood doesn't go inside is to wipe it on
the outside. Wipe it on the outside.
They start memorizing the fact. Where did the prisoners hide the cards?
Yes.
And the guards.
The guards in the guards' pockets. Yeah.
Close, but right. Opposite. Yeah.
Rashi points out, yeah, for example, the expression, maybe one famous example is in the Gemara in Gittin, the story of the Churban over there, where Niran Kaser is about to go destroy the Bais Mikdash, and then he hears, and then he asks the kid for the Pasuk he just learned, and the kid tells him a Pasuk that the Eibishter says, I'm going to take revenge against Edra, and Niran realizes to himself, wait a minute, the Eibishter wants to use me as his cat's paw, he wants to have me destroy the Bais Mikdash, and then he's going to wipe his hands on me. I don't want, so he runs away and becomes a ger, etc. So that's the same word. V'chfura yodeh, so you have the same word over here.
Clean, yeah.
Tosfos points out that we find when it comes to the parah duma, there it says, now there also, the kohen has to dip his finger and sprinkle the blood of the par in the direction of the heichel from he's standing on Aras Ezim. He sprinkles in the direction of the heichel, and there also between each one, he needs to wipe his finger someplace because you can't use the blood from one dip for the next sprinkling. So there it says actually that he wipes his hands on the actual parah itself. So here Tosfos says, you don't want to wipe the knife on the parah, because then the knife is going to be covered with hairs from the parah, and then you won't be good to shecht with over there. Tosfos also points out, by the parah adumah, you have to burn everything, including as much as possible of the blood. So therefore, whatever blood is left on his finger has to be wiped on the parah in order for him to be able to burn it afterwards. When the person shat, he has to put the jugular veins, the big blood vessels that are in the neck, inside the cavity. Not literally inside the cavity. You don't do that, but in other words, directly above the cavity. So that way, as soon as the blood starts gushing out, it'll go directly into the cavity. Otherwise, now the point is actually, the point is that otherwise, it's not even that not all of it will be collected. The problem with not doing that, the problem is, let's say for example, you have the neck over here and the cavity over here. You're going to argue, what's the problem? The blood is going to gush a foot or two and can collect it over there. The problem is, it's not going as directly as possible into the cavity. It's going through the air and then into the cavity, and therefore it's not really being received correctly.
Wow.
Yeah. So itmanami amarav asi amarav yechna viridin sarach shiyiru avukli, the viridin, the jugular veins, have to see the air space above the keli. So in other words, they have to be directly above the keli when the shafting is taking place. By the way, you have in connection with the avoda of Yom Kippur, you know, the Kohen Gadol had to do all the avoda, so he had to do the shchita of the animals, but he also had to do the Kabbalah. How's he going to do that? So the Mishnah explains, krotzoi, he would do only the beginning of the shchita, so that the dam ha-nefesh doesn't start coming out yet. Then, merakacha shchita al-yodeh, somebody else finishes the shchita, so that at that point, the shchita is already, valid shchita has already been done. He cut through roiv of the windpipe, and roiv of the esophagus. So at that point, enough of the shchita has been done, that it's kosher shchita, but he hasn't yet hit the jugular veins, so the blood hasn't started gushing out yet. So now somebody else can complete it, and meanwhile the Kohen Gadol can take the mizrak and be ready for the Kabbalah. Okay.
Yeah, it's a tough job.
Yep. Yeah, well, there's a reason why that's train him for a week beforehand. That wasn't even the most difficult avoida. We're going to have later in the Sefer, we're going to have Malika was a difficult avoida. Knitza was a difficult avoida. Chafina, the pouring the Ketores from the spoon back into his cupped hands inside the Kodesh Kedoshin is a very tough avoida. Okay. What if a person is being makabel the blood, the nifchasu shulei mizrach actually gia dam la'aver, and the bottom of the mizrach fell off, broke off, there was a hole in it, before the blood reached the airspace inside the kavi. Mahu, what's the din? Is that a valid Kabbalah? Do we say aver sheim sofel anuach kemunach dami? When we have here, we have it's in an airspace where it's not going to land, because here it's not going to land in the mizrach, because since the bottom is missing, it's just going to go straight through and end up landing on the floor. Do we still consider kemunach dami? It can still be considered as though it was placed inside the kavi. So therefore, it's the equivalent of it being received in the kavi and then spilled on the floor, in which case we can collect it from there with another mizrach. Or maybe it's not considered kemunach, and therefore it's considered it went straight from the neck onto the ground. Now, Rashi points out, if the bottom of the mizrach broke after the blood was received, then there's no question. It was received in a valid keli, and afterwards it spilled, that's for sure not a problem. The question is here, when it was gushing out of the neck, it wasn't going to land at the bottom of the keli, because by that point, the bottom of the keli already broke off. So that's the question. Amalei said, Rabbi Yochanan answers in Tidisua. You can answer this based on something that says in a Braisa. Talking about dinim of water that you can use for parah adumah. Chovis shemunachas tachas azinuk. If you have a barrel underneath a pipe or something that's gushing water, so you have Rashi describes. Let's say, for example, you have a fairly vertical mountain, you have like a cliff, and you have a channel over there where water is pouring down from there, like a waterfall, basically. Mm-hmm. So now and then you have. But if somebody placed a barrel over there, not specifically for Kiddush Yadayim, it's not specifically for Kiddush Mechatas, he just some placed a barrel over there, and now this water from this waterfall is landing in this barrel. Well, then the water inside the barrel, the Shabbat Chutzalah, as well as the water that's outside it, the water that's about to land into it, Psulin, are possible for Mechatas. You cannot use it for Paradrama water because it has to be placed in the Keli for Kiddush Mechatas. So what it is, it has to be mayim chayim. So Rashi actually uses the expression over here that he can't put it, that you can't put a keli into the airspace over there and hold it to be receiving the stream for kiddush or even outside of it, but directly above it, because once the water reaches keneged avira in the area where it's going to now continue into the airspace of the keli, then it's considered as though it already landed in the keli. Therefore, it's not mayim chayim anymore. So had the barrel been placed there for that purpose, then no problem. It's coming from this waterfall, going directly into a keli, which you placed there for mechatas, so you're good. But here you didn't place the keli there for mechatas, so therefore it's no good.
The water is from the chutzal, the water is still above it?
The chutzal, right. The water is above it. It hasn't even landed in the keli yet, but it's about to land in the keli, right.
It's comparable to our case.
No, but that's the point. It's exactly comparable because we're saying it's about to land in the keli. So we see that. You're right. It's not exactly the same as the. That's the point. The Gemara is going to ask. So that's the point. Gemara is going to ask. So the water that's inside it. The point is that actually mayim chayim at this point. Rashi says posif lo chayusayim. The chayus has been interrupted. It's not directly mayim chayim anymore. So therefore, on the other hand, sidif peel is, on the other hand, if you put the lip of the barrel right next to the flow of water, right next to the waterfall, so there's no air, there's no space between them, mayim shebeseichah psulin, the water that's inside the barrel will already be possible, v'shebechutzalok sheirin, but the water that's outside it, which is still flowing down, will be kosher, because because before you have the problem, in other words, you have space between it. You have space between the waterfall and the barrel, and therefore, as it's going through that space, it's already nifsak chayusay, because it's about to land in the barrel. But here you have any water that's already there in that lambda in the barrel is going to be possible, and you can't now pour it into another keli and use it from part abdomen water. However, what's about to fall in there would be good, and you could put another keli over there in the way and redirect the flow into that and catch that water and be able to use it for mayim chayim.
So we're saying the difference is if there's space between
both? If there's space between.
Okay.
So the question is, hi, my, what kind of an answer is this? Boy, mine, abashain, sofalim. The Rachel of Asi is asking a case where the Mizrach's bottom was missing, and therefore it's not going to land in there, because it's going to spill right out. But kaposhetle, and abashain, sofalim, noach, and Rabbi Yechanan is answering him from a case where it is going to land in a barrel, because you have a perfectly good barrel over there. The answer is tauti kaboy mine. Rav Asi was actually asking two questions in one. First of all, what happens if the bottom of the Mizrach falls out? Second of all, im timsa loyma abashain sofa lanuach lav kamunach dami, if you're going to say that when it's not going to land, it's not considered as though it landed, and therefore in that case, blood would be possible, which is the bottom of the Mizrach missing, then we have to ask, what about abashain sofa lanuach mai? What about if it is going to fall in there? So now, Rabbi Yochanan is answering the second case, so it's true. As far as we don't have a proof from this Raisa about the barrel, as far as the first case, but at least we have an answer as far as the second case. The water that's about to fall in there is considered as though it's going to fall in there. But if there's no space over there, so then it's not even a matter of it's about to fall in there. It already is inside the water is already going inside the keli. It just hasn't landed on the bottom yet. So then that would really be considered that it landed over there and it's possible.
Yeah, how could we have that with the blood?
With the blood of Mizrach, it would mean, in other words, if the blood is about to fall into the Mizrach, but it hasn't yet, then we would consider that it's already in there.
What was his new question?
His new question was, forget about the case of a general question. This Habash of Sofer Lanuach, named Sofer Lanuach, is not unique to the halachas of Kodshim. You have this, it comes up, for example, in Hilchos Shabbos. You throw something let's say imagine, for example,
myself. we're talking about a case where there is a bottom to the barrel. There's a bottom to the jug. It just hasn't hit him. That's our second question.
Right.
If there is a bottom, but it hasn't hit, what's the difference?
Right.
So we're saying in all circumstances, if it's right above it, we say it's there.
That's it. Now, as I'm saying, so you have this concept of Avish HaSofa L'Nuach, and Ein Sofa L'Nuach comes up in other contexts in Halacha as well. For example, in Hilchos Shabbos, let's say a person is standing in Rosh HaSayachid, and he throws, let's say, a paper airplane. And it skims the ground along the Rosh HaYachid. It goes through Rosh HaRabim and goes into another Rosh HaYachid. Do we consider that it landed in Rosh HaRabim and therefore he's chayav for carrying the Rosh HaRoshos or not? So one factor is whether Seifel Anuach, is it going to, under normal circumstances, is it going to land in that Rosh HaRabim or not? Or is it like this paper airplane where you threw it in such a way where it's not even going, so if it's within three tefachim of the ground, that's actually a different matter. Let's not get into that, whatever. The point is that it depends whether Seifel Anuach or not. It comes up in Hilchos Gittin, for example, if he throws the get to his wife in Hur Lashus, if it's Seifel Anuach or not. What happens, for example, he throws it for her, let's say she's standing on her roof and there's a fire over there and it lands in the fire before it lands on the floor over there. That's Ein Sofer Lanuach. So this concept comes up in a few areas.
Well, Ein Sofer Lanuach is there, Ein Sofer Lanuach is not there.
Yeah. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef Masni Hochi. Now, this is how Rabbi Yosef just learned this Sylvia. Rav Asi's question and Rav Yechanan's answer. Rav Kahana Masni, Rav Kahana has a different version of the question. Chobis Bamine. According to Rav Kahana's version, Rav Asi's original question was actually about the barrel as far as Mechatas. Or Pasha by Chobis, and Rav Yechanan answered him, as from this Bryce of Chavis. Rabba Masni Chavis Lomine. Rabba says that it was actually completely the opposite of the way Rabbi Yosef learned. He asked him about the Chavis. He asked him about the Kiddush, about the water from Mechatas for Poshet Le Mizra, and he answers him based on the Mizra. He tells him, Iyat Modim the Mizra, don't you have to agree with the Mizra? She Efshalai Bloizino. Of necessity, the blood has to go and gush towards the keli, because even if you have, as we said before, you have the keli directly under the neck. The fact is that the blood does gush to the side, kind of. So if you're going to say avash sofa lanuach lav kamunach dami, if you're going to say it's considered that it didn't receive over there, then the point is that it didn't come directly from the path. So it must be sofa lanuach because you place the mizrach in such a way that the end of the gush will land in there, and therefore that's valid. And so
really, this conversation is more of a deeper understanding of
what's considered Sefer Lanuach and Ein Sefer Lanuach, right? That's what I'm saying. Like with the paper airplane, let's say with Hilchos Shabbos, for example, depending on how you throw it, it is Sefer Lanuach or Ein Sefer Lanuach, let's say. So the same way over here, you have to place the mizrach in a different way.
You said a little earlier that not just that the can rest on the knife or on the floor, it can't even rest in the air.
Right.
So how do we get it? It has to go through the air.
But now we're saying of necessity it's going to have to come through the air. So you have to try to minimize it as much as possible.
So we're saying going through the air is only if it's at an angle, but if it's directly above, it's not considered going through the air. As soon as it goes from the animal and it's above the airspace of the keli, then it was never in the air.
Right, but Rashi explains that even so, what happens is, even when you do it above the Aver of the Keli, Rashi says it's not shoisis from the Koma, it still doesn't dribble directly down, it still goes in a gush to the side.
Right.
And therefore, so apparently, I guess the idea is that the Keli has to be wide enough.
It's just like in space, direct doesn't necessarily have to mean, right? Gravity can be...
Right. So that's the point, in other words.
If straight is sideways for this type of a... Right?
Right. So that's what Rabba is answering, essentially, is that given that it has to be good, because otherwise, how are you going to receive Dam Mea Poria Kablan? Yeah.
Beautiful. So, we answered, that doesn't have to be necessarily above, it has to be in its natural direction.
It has to be natural, direct flow, direction of flow.
You have a horizontal stream pouring out, maybe like from a mountain, like just pouring out. So then, but maybe that's the question of the chavis. Maybe the question of the chavis is not a vertical stream. Maybe it's actually a horizontal stream.
A little horizontal, I guess, yeah. So we have three different versions of what the question was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the Gemara says, here's a din that's going to be relevant to this as far as this matter of Avosh Sofa Lanuach and Ein Sofa Lanuach and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or more the point of Aver Kli Kli Dami. Can we consider the airspace of a Keli like Keli itself? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, Tznan Halsam, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Para in connection with collecting water for the Para Hadrama. So again, now let's say you have a waterfall and you have a barrel over there to catch the water to use for mechatas. So now, nosen yodei ragloi, oy alei yirokas, if he puts his hand or his foot there or vegetable leaves in order to redirect the flow. So that the water will go into the barrel. So in other words, like this, the water, he's not able to place the barrel directly under the waterfall, let's say. So he uses his hand or his foot or a vegetable leaf or something, he uses it as like a makeshift gutter to redirect the flow of water towards there. Still, then the water is possible because he's using something which is makabel tumah, as the Gemara is going to explain soon. On the other hand, I'll lay canning, but if you use bamboo leaves, or whatever canning, various kinds of weeds that are inedible, I'll lay a goizing, or leaves from walnut trees, in fact, it can mean not only the leaves, the Rambam and Bartanura on the Mishnah explain, it can even mean certain kinds of nuts. Now, we buy nuts already, they've been off the tree for months already. Fresh walnuts and other kinds of nuts have a green shell surrounding a nut. I was, for example, over the summer, I was in Eretz Yisrael, we were in a couple of places where they had almond trees growing. You take the almond off the tree, you have the hard shell, you have the soft green shell, and then within that you have the familiar hard shell which you crack open to get the nut. Mm. So many nuts have like that. They have like a green shell that surrounds them when they grow on the tree. Mm. So the point is you could even use that. Even though it's a kli kibbe, if you could hold something inside it, but it's not edible and it's not meant as a keli. So therefore ksherin, therefore ksheder, therefore the water would be kosher. Zach Klal, the general rule is davar makabel tumah psulim. If you're trying to redirect the water with something that's makabel tumah, then the water is possible, and a person is makabel tumah, therefore his hands and feet, and therefore the vegetable leaves, davar sheni makabel tumah. But if he's using these inedible leaves or shells or whatever ksheder, so the Gemara says menahani. Really, where do we know that from? The Amr Rabbi Yechanan, Amr Mishum Rabbi Yisrael Abba, Omar Kroh, because the Pasuk says, Ach Mayin Uver Mikve Mayim Yiyatar. The Pasuk says, a spring or pit of water, collection of water, will be Tar. This is where we have the concept of a mikveh. So that means when it says Yiyatar, have a Yosin Aide Tarate, it means they have to be made through something which is Tar. So this applies actually not just to Pot Adjuma water, it also applies to a mikveh. You can't have the water directed to a mikveh with something that's makabel tumah either. That's you have the whole concept, for example, the piping that they use has to not have a kli kibbol and so on and so forth. So have a yosei, have a tari yehei. to, hey, it has to be made through time. Well, we see from this that what's in the airspace of the keli, where it's not in the airspace of the keli, rather, but the airspace directly above the keli, is considered like it's in the keli. Because otherwise, what do you mean? For example, if you're using your hand to direct the water, why should it be? It's not going directly from your hand. It's going after you. You use your hand. You direct the water to go this way. Then it's going through the air, and then it's going into the barrel. And still, we say it's possible. That shows that even before it reached the barrel, when it's above the barrel, it's still already possible. So therefore, so in other words, it's the equivalent as though already, because you placed your hand over there, then already you're making it happen, and you're making it happen through something that's mechabel tumma. Amalei Rav Zeira l'Rabchi Abba, but Rav Zeira says to Rabchi Abba, why is that a proof? The Duma B'Shosis, maybe the Braisa is talking about only where the water directly dribbles from his hand directly into the barrel. How do you know you're talking about where you put your hand over here and the water is still rushing along and flying through the air and only landing in the chavis a couple of feet away? How do you know that then it's possible as well? Amalei, so Rabchi Abba gives him a sharp answer. He says, Shrada, you fool. Rashi says, Shota Bohu. Like a shoter is like completely confused. There's a few places in the Gemara where Amiroyim use this kind of talk one to another. First of all, the Aruch has a girsa not tshradda, but tshradra, and says that it comes from the word rear, as in spit, as in like you're like a drooling idiot, is he calling him. But how do they use such terms against each other? The Chavisier actually has an interesting tshuva about it, where he brings, there's a number of places in the Gemara where Chachamim use very harsh expressions against one another. He says that many times they Taka didn't mind it. And they're chaverim, they're arguing in halacha. It's a natural thing that sometimes, a person says something like that. It's not something that they should have.
A good friend could handle a sharp word.
Yeah. Anyway, so you're talking Shrada. Kedesh Yavro and the Chavis, man. The Mishnah says so that they can pass to the Chavis, meaning that they're actually going through the air. That's pass from point A to point B. Not just like you're saying it's directly dribbling from his hand directly into the cave. It means that there's a space between there, and it's still possible. So therefore, you see, Abba Kli Kli Dami. And v'omen apchi v'aba omen v'yechen. Where did this Mishnah come? Where did this concept come from? Me'edusei shorav tzadik nishnis mishnezu. This Mishnah that we just said that you can use, for example, that you can use the green shells of nuts, or you can use bamboo leaves or whatever, and it doesn't passel the water. This comes from an edus that a tzadik said in front of the chachamim. The Tanan, we learn a Mishnah in edus. Hey, Rav Tzadik, ala zoichlin. Rav Tzadik gave edus about water that's flowing along a mountainside. Shekilchan ba'alei goes in. If then he redirected it using nut leaves or nut shells or whatever. Shane Kshelin, that they're kosher. V'zehoye Meisel, but Oyaliyah. In fact, this happened in a place called Oyaliyah, Ovo Meisel, if Nechamba, Lishkas Agazis. This was brought to the Chamin, Lishkas Agazis, back in the time when the Besnefesh was still standing, and they said it's kosher. So we see you have this concept of whether it's with Yavram and Abel Tshuva or not. So the Gemara continues. Omer Reb Zera, Omer Reb. Let's talk.
Go by this.
Okay. Omer Zera, Omer Rebbe. On the side over here, I go to Bach says it's going to be Omer Yochanan. Anyway. And then other Gemara says Omer Zera, Omer Rab. Whatever, anyway. So, at Sodom Ozen Apor, suppose that the Kohen nicked the ear of the pie, made a mum in it. And then he did the Kabbalah psul, possible. Then it would be possible. Now, if he made the mum before Shrita, of course it's possible. We're talking about between the Shrita and the Kabbalah, he quickly took out his knife and nicked the ear. Then it would be possible. Shenema v'lokach midama par means par shahoya kvar, it means the par that was already there. It has to be just as complete as it was before the Shrita. So the Gemara says Ashchon Kodshei Kodshim. Okay, so that tells us that applies by Kodshei Kodshim, because that pasuk, the Lokach Midama Per, it's talking about the Par Koyin Mashiach, which is Kodshei Kodshim. Kodshim Kalim in Olam. How do we know the same thing applies to Kodshim Kalim? Tosfos points out the whole sugya we've been talking about Milokach Midama Per, and the Gemara never asked the question. The answer is now the Gemara is asking the question. Once we have the answer from here, then it'll apply to the whole previous sugya. So the answer is that Omar Rava. Tanya, because you learn in the Braisa, Seh Somim Zocha Ben Shana, the Pasuk says about the Korban Pesach, which is Kodshim Kalim. Yeah. It has to be a perfect sheep, a male, within a year old, means she, hey, Chomu Ben Shana, Vishas Shchita, the Kabbalah, Bahilocha, Vishas Shchita. How do we know the Kabbalah by Halacha Bezrika Minayin? How do we know that it still has to be all those things at the time of the Kabbalah Halacha Bezrika? Tamad Lama Yiyah. Therefore, the Pasuk says Yiyah. Zachav and Tamim, says Tamim, Zachav and Shana Yiyah. Kol Hava Yosef. It means Kol Hava Yosef. All the doings of it, all the beings of it, Lo Yiyu, Ela Tamu, and Shana, it has to be complete and it has to be within a year old. So therefore we go. So it means, in other words, that so Kol Hava Yosef, so there we see all the main avodas of it. Eisva Abaya, but Abaya says in that case have a contradiction. Abraisa says Rabbi Yeshua Omer Kol Hazvachim Shvatora Shnishkayim and Kazayis Vosor Kazayis Chelav. All korbanos in the Torah, as long as you have, even if most of the blood or most of the chelav became was lost, and all you have left is a kazayis of meat or a kazayis of chelav, Zoda Kasadam, you can still sprinkle the blood. So Rashi points out that it does have to be, according to Rabbi Yeshua, it does have to be that there's some of it left. If there's less than he holds, in ein basar, ein dam, if there's no blood, if there's no meat or fat in the carbon left over, then you can't sprinkle the blood. But the point is, as long as you have at least a kazayis left, then you're good. Zerda kasadam. So what are you telling me that it has to be the entire, now that's obviously emecha mum godom is there. I mean, most of the korban is missing. That's a huge mum. And yet it seems that it's fine to sprinkle the blood. So therefore he tells.
So we're clutching about a little cut of hair.
So he tells him, Targuma aben shana. What you should do, Abaya sets it up, explain that your Bryson, just quoted, Kolava Yosef, it has to be, means not referring to the Tumim. In fact, it doesn't have to be Tumim. But what it means is it has to be Ben Shana for the whole time. It can't get to be over a year old between the Shechita and the Zrika. So the question is, Umiik, that's the question. Umiik Midi, the Meshach Shechita Ben Shana, Meshach Halacha, Zrika Ben Shtaim. How is that possible? The Shechita and the Halacha and Zrika all take place on the same day. How does it turn older? Omar Rava, Zaysemenes, shows post this Kodshin. As a matter of fact, yes, we see from this that hours pass over with the Kodshin. If this animal was born, let's say, for example, the Korban Pesach, if it was born at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, on Erev Pesach comes next year, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Erev Pesach, that's the deadline. You have to make sure the Shechita and the Kabbalah and the Halacha and the Zrika is all done before that, and if not, then it's possible. But based on that, we don't necessarily have a source to say that this point about Sharam Arad Sharam Oizen, that if he nicked the ear, that it should in fact be possible by Kodshim. But fine. I mean, we still are saying that it does need to be. We still are saying that it needs to be Tumim. On the other hand, when you're talking about if it is true, the din is still a din. If you it's Sodom Ozen, then it will be
custom.
On the other hand, if it's true that if most of the korban went missing, you could, on the face of it, argue Emachom Mum Godom is there. But nevertheless, as long as you have a kazayis, then you can sprinkle the blood. But if you have an actual mum, then nevertheless, it is true that the korban becomes possible. Tosfos elsewhere, by the way, brings up an interesting.
Well, I thought you were saying that b'diavad it's kosher.
We're saying that b'diavad it's kosher, but we're saying not if tzurim oizen. If he actually nicked the eel, then it will be possible regardless.
Well, it's a mum from the derech, or one of these, like,
yeah, it's one of the mum.
One of the mum that the Torah specifically
describes. Right. But if you have korban as a whole, was if the korban was there, but then just. So Shita Mekubetzus brings actually that, Tackle, where do we know then that it has to be Tom B'Shas Kabbalah V'Halacha, is because since it says, it's like this, we learn that it has to be Tom B'Shas Shechita from the fact that it's a set Tommy. Mm-hmm. So by Kabbalah also, the same way as by Kodshim, the same way as, what we're going to do is, we're going to do a Mamatzinu, the same way as by Kodshim, it has to be throughout all the Avodas, the same way by Kodshim Kalim.
This whole thing that it's missing? The whole thing is gone. You shechted, then it disappeared.
No. So yeah. Let's say most of it became tummy, or let's say most of it accidentally got burned or whatever. As long as you have kazayis of it left, then you're good. Then you can still sprinkle the blood, and the korban is kosher. As far as this matter of it being a year old, by the way, so the point is, in other words, that we don't say, now, for example, Rashi mentions in a pasuk in Parshas Pekudei that people's years in the Torah are not always counted by their birthdays. People's years are counted l'minyan shnos olam. Rashi explains there that's how it is.
Lady Goldstein asked Rabbi Kwashi, the Rebbe, in 1980s. This is one of the chalakim, Pashas Nayak.
Right, I remember, yeah.
It's a 4-page sikha describing this thing that people hear. So you go by Yeah, you go right, they get it formed, but you start your nearby by Rosh
Hashanah. Right. Yeah. Right, so Rashi uses it to explain there how is it that the Nath, the Shekels, and the census later on in Parshas Bamidbar both equal the same number of people, because we're still the same year, so like there were no 19-year-old returned 20.
Right.
But anyway, the point is the animals were saying not that. Tosfos actually points out an interesting point elsewhere. Now, on the face of it, if you didn't have this din, if you were to say that animals' years go according to Rosh Hashanah, how would you bring the Korban Tumid on Rosh Hashanah itself? The animal has to be at least 8 days old, and if it was born, if it was born at the end of Elul, would come Rosh Hashanah, would already be considered its second year, and Tumid has to be within its first year. So doesn't that necessarily mean that you can't count according to the animal's birthday? So why do we need a pasuk for it? So Tosfos answers that the point is, you're right, you don't need it to tell us that we don't count from Tishrei, but we do need to tell us, as Rava is telling us over here, that Shor is Tosfos for Kodshim, that we consider the hours. We would have thought the animal's birthday, fine, as if it was born at a Pesach last year, it's still kosher at the whole Erev Pesach this year. We wouldn't realize this concept before 3 o'clock, after 3 o'clock, that we need the pasuk to tell us.
I think that we have to reinforce the differentiate between Kabbalah, Halacha, and Zrika. I think the din of Nishtayer, Kazai, Sama, Zrika. But certainly, as a prior, that was specifically speaking about Kabbalah. Between the Shita and the Kabbalah, there's no time. There's something happened.
I guess that's true.
We're forced to say that because the Kazai thing is talking about, I don't need it to be on the Shia. I think the Shia is over, right?
But as a practical matter, you're probably right. Between Shemitah and Kabbalah, there's not time for most of the animal to be missing. That's true.
Gemara not differentiating them. I'm just trying
right.
to be a Yidu.
Right. So we said, Absurd Moses and Apova Hacha Kibble Domi. Right. But what we're saying is applies not only to Kabbalah, it applies also to Halacha and Zrika. And Zrika.
Or, of course, the same, meaning common sense, logic is dictating to us that the word Tzedim is talking about Kabbalah. And Zrika, and Kazai Snishtaya is talking about Zrika.
Okay. Fair enough. But nevertheless, the fact is the dinim apply across the board. If somehow it were possible for most of the carbon to be lost before Kabbalah, then nevertheless the din would still apply. And if sort of always in Apur before Zirka, then it would still be possible.
So we were saying that only a kazayis remaining is kosher.
But that's what we're saying. In other words, on the one hand, there's where there's a moon. The Gemara had thought to compare them. Abaye is arguing to compare them. Most of it being missing is tantamount to a moon. But we're saying not
necessarily. More than a moon. What is it?
Right. But now we're saying not necessarily. There's a difference between deliberately making a moon, so it was an upper, versus it getting lost or burned or tome or what have you.
Well, that's hard. That's very hard for a simple person like me to understand. I mean, you think it's the most basic form of Kabbalah, Madaka Moon, so for sure.
No, that's what we're saying. That's long. And again, also, I mean, again, it can also.